Welcome to Executive Tools. Presentation failure number one, reading your slides. This cast answers these questions. Can I read my slides in a presentation? Why is reading slides in a presentation a failure? How can I avoid reading my slides? Well, if we want to answer these questions some more, keep listening. Here we go.
Most organizations don't fail at strategy. They fail at hiring. The Effective Hiring Manager Conference from Manager Tools gives executives and their managers a proven, repeatable hiring system that reduces risk and improves results. If you want better talent without the guesswork, it's time to fix your hiring system. Learn more by visiting us at manager-tools.com/EHMC.
Sometimes as I'm reading the questions that this cast answers, I'm like, can I read my slides in a presentation? No.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is the answer actually is yes, you can, because people do it.
Yeah.
Thousands or tens of hundreds of millions of people a year. Yeah. Oh, wise. As Sarah said yesterday on our executive speaker series call, talking about AI. AI is smart, but AI is not wise. AI doesn't write our shows. And wisdom isn't common among managers and executives when it comes to presentations, that's for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah, so we see a lot of presentations when we're meeting with clients, and we see them on executive speaker series calls and many other places, hundreds per year, surely, perhaps even more than that. Obviously, we present ourselves. We've coached plenty of managers, executives, and governmental leaders on presenting, although admittedly, government work tends to be more about speeches as opposed to presentations, which have different rules. Try coaching a U.S. president on that. Not easy to do. They are brimming with confidence, and they got elected in part because they were good at giving speeches. But when we say presentation, most people understand what we're saying, which is presenting for the vast majority of professionals means using slides. And folks, we can argue about that all we want, but that is the standard right now. And so we're going to talk about the world that is. This is reality, manager tools, not fantasy tools. And the single biggest presenting mistake we see, and it's a nasty rookie mistake, is reading from your slides. It's a fundamental error. It's been going on for decades now. Reading from your slides is a total rookie move, and it will weaken your credibility. It shows that you did not prepare, although most people think that creating their slides is preparation, which is not true. That is creating the structure, but not the actual presentation, as we'll learn. And it also just shows a lack of mastery of your topic that you have to read rather than not knowing off the top of your head what you put into your slide structure. It's that bad. It's that bad. I was recently in a meeting where I saw, I'll say 20, maybe 25 presentations over 2 days. I didn't see a single person not reading their slides.
Is that right?
Some people had rehearsed the first little bit because I had told them about that. But I immediately noted when that ran out, if they had 5 slides, they got through 1.5 slides and then they went back to reading, meaning they probably rehearsed the first slide and a half and then they were back to reading just like everybody else. And it was a notable difference for those people who are paying attention. And I'm paying attention, not just to the content, not just to the persuasive point of it, but also to the presentation skills. I can imagine for those people who weren't having to evaluate and provide feedback on presentation skills or weren't having to evaluate the persuasiveness of it, it just got incredibly boring and insulting to have slides read to them, even though everyone did it.
Yeah, some people listening might be like, oh, well, what's wrong with it? If I read my slides, I'm keeping on track. I'm saying what I intended to say, but there's all sorts of...
It's good. I'm saying what I intended to say.
Yeah. But there's all sorts of reasons why it's so bad. So
yeah,
let's talk about those.
Yeah. So our outline today, reading your slides is all kinds of mistakes. I started counting and then I said, no, we're not even going to cover all of them. We're just going to cover the big ones. Then we're going to talk about why it happens, which I think is pretty obvious by now. And then we're going to give you a specific plan, not a specific plan, a general plan for how to avoid it. Now, this is a one-part cast. It'll probably be a little bit long, and we will cover this in a great deal more detail because we're not only going to talk about failures, we're going to talk about successes and how to do it well. But all kinds of mistakes, why does it happen, and how you can avoid it. And so let's talk about all kinds of mistakes, right? Now, we're going to start this with three caveats. By the way, Mike, I don't know if you know this. A couple of years ago, Sarah, who's Canadian, we were at her parents' house, and she said the word decal. And her sister happens to be the general manager, very effective general manager of a sign printing and advertising company. And they were talking about decals, and I didn't know what they were. And she said, oh, that's, and I said, do you mean decal? You know, like the thing you put on a car to advertise or whatever. And she says, yeah, decal. I'm like, well, that's not how you say it. And her sister, who can be spicy, said, that's how we say it here, American. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'll start calling it decal when I'm north of the border. Well, another word that Canadians pronounce differently is caveat, which I think we're saying it fairly much like the French, which is where it comes from. And it derives from Latin, like caveat emptor or caveat auditor. But they say caveat. No, caveat. Long A's, caveat.
Okay.
As opposed to caveat. So the first time she said it, I said, what? She says, you know, like an exception. I'm like, okay. Caveat. You mean caveat? Yeah. So, yeah, we all have accents, right? That's one of the things about life. Okay. So reading your slides is too many mistakes to mention, but we'll cover several of them. And the caveats start with, look, guys, this was originally meant to be a manager tools podcast. Okay. We felt we should share this guidance with managers because we assume executives, after surely hundreds, if not thousands of presentations in their careers, would be highly effective presenters.
That whole not assumption exhibit. Thing.
This, yes, the assumption.
Gotcha, thing. Didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. We would assume that executives wouldn't make this kind of rookie mistake. They might make advanced mistakes, but not rookie mistakes. But we were mistaken. I mentioned I recently sat in over 100 executive level presentations over the course of a couple of months. And I basically found that reading from one slide has gone from a beginning level mistake to a common mistake at virtually all levels of presentations we've seen.
What percentage were reading from their slides? Because this is...
out of the last 100?
Yeah.
99. There was only one who didn't. I had offered to rehearse with him, and we rehearsed. And he did very well, and he didn't read from his slides. He knew where he was in his slides. He forwarded the slides with his remote, but he never once looked at his slides or read his slides.
Okay. That number surprises me.
Yeah. So Mark Gravel, well done. So I was mistaken. It was everywhere, all the time. It went from epidemic to pandemic. Now, just so you know, this is an Exec Tools cast, but we're also going to release this as a bonus cast for Manager Tools folks. So if you happen to be listening to this through Manager Tools, we want you to know that your Executive Tools colleagues listen to it as well. I think it would be bad if somebody who works for a Manager Tools executive and their manager didn't follow this guidance and their executive did, and then the executive started giving them feedback about, hey, dude, you can't read from your slides. Hey, can I give you some feedback? Sure. When you read from the slides, it takes away from your professionalism and your presentation and your perception of quality and knowledge and blah, blah, blah. At some point, that would be a 3-minute long negative feedback. So we don't recommend that.
Yeah. And if you're the manager, don't give feedback to your executive on their presentation.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, some people would. Some people absolutely would.
And if you're a manager and your executive does it right, you shouldn't give him or her feedback. We should go up and say, that was a great presentation. Thanks. And if you could ever give me guidance, I'd appreciate it. And I assume one of them sooner or later would say, well, there's this podcast you should listen to. The second caveat is that you're probably thinking, but look, dudes, Mike, Mark, Sarah, Kate, Amanda, the whole crew, everyone does this. Everyone I see reads their slides. And yes, that's true. And thus our first caveat. But just because everyone is doing something doesn't make it effective. I remember once telling my parents, well, I can't be in trouble for this. Everybody else is doing it. And my mother said, you're not everybody else's kid. Like, okay. My mom was really good at ending arguments.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. Look, we only need to remind you of the scams of generational management. Gen X is different than Gen Z, which is different than Gen Y, which is different than the boomers and so on. That's a total scam. And everybody's doing it. Engagement surveys, lots of people are doing it, total scam. And having a dialogue with your direct when you're giving them negative feedback, as if every time somebody makes a small mistake, you should have a 15-minute conversation with them. That will certainly ruin the quantity of negative feedback given. And that just reminds you that bad managerial and professional guidance and the normal set of behaviors, for instance, how many managers in the world don't do one-on-ones, the vast majority, right? These things are profuse in the world. It's regrettable, but it's also true. So caveat auditor, which is listener beware, that's Latin, you know, be careful about what you hear and what you assume. And let's suggest that if you want to succeed in your career, you should not play down to the level of average. You should attempt to be exceptional or at least above average. And this guidance will give you a start on that. Our third caveat is we know you could argue that it's the whole system of using PowerPoint to structure presentations and then presenting them. I totally get that. And we're not capable of blowing that up. Okay. There have been some efforts. I know Pat Lencioni wrote a book. It was one of his few books I didn't like. I like Pat Lencioni's work. Some of you know him for Five Dysfunctions of a Team, which is good. He doesn't have a lot of data on it, but it's still a great story and a good lesson. But he had a book about how meetings could be made great by making them dramatic, like Hollywood movies. And I thought, no, that's really bad. And I know that Amazon doesn't allow PowerPoints. You have to create a document and everybody reads the document quietly and then you talk about the document. I think that's a nice effort. I do think this will continue to stay bad until people in our community start changing it. And of course, remember, if you're an executive, you can change this not only for you, but for every presenter in your organization by putting out some guidance about how to present and showing them by your example of how to do it. So another reason we're not going to talk about PowerPoint and why we don't like PowerPoint and so on is that's like blaming the system rather than mastering it. Okay. You have to play the cards you're dealt. The cards you're dealt includes PowerPoint. If you want to do it differently in your group, do so, just like I said. But for now, you're stuck with this commonly understood and used system of presenting PowerPoint or not Pages. What is Apple's product? That's the equivalent of PowerPoint. Not Podium.
It's I'm picture. Blanking.
The logo is a podium.
Keynote.
That's right. Yeah, good. So if you're not going to change it, and we're not, you have an obligation to be good at it, whatever the system is, right? So now, that's our three caveats. Now on to the litany of failures that reading one slides creates. By the way, if you do this a lot, if you do what I had to do, and I've listened to hundreds of them, it becomes incredibly annoying. It becomes nails on a chalkboard. Here we go again. They're going to read their slides to us. They typed them, and now they're reading them. How nice. First, folks, when you read your slides, you're boring your audience. I don't know. Maybe there's guidance somewhere that says boring your audience is good.
Yeah, their mind wanders, and they yes. think of less questions, and you'll probably get through your presentation easier.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, let's be worse at it in a faster way. Yeah. Folks, your audience can read, okay? You'll be reading aloud, but they'll be reading silently, which is always faster than reading aloud. Therefore, you will be reading to them words they have already read. You will be adding nothing to your presentation while wasting everyone's time.
Well, it's even worse because when I observe this, in my head, all I'm saying is, shut up so I can read them.
Yeah, exactly.
You're distracting me, Mr. Presenter.
Which goes to Amazon's point about just a one-pager, a written document that then you read quietly amongst yourselves. Think about that for just a minute. The presentation deck you have created, actually, your slides, can be read. In fact, ideally, as we'll cover in just a moment, the best audience members in front of you will have read your slides, even if they come out the night before. Look, if you get slides the night before, read everybody else's slides, okay? But if the deck can be and should have been read, why are you standing in front of everyone reading it, presenting it? Actually, you're not reading, You're not presenting when you're reading your slides. I should change that on the show notes. It's, again, a waste of everybody's time. Again, this is even worse when your audience has correctly and professionally read your slides before the presentation in preparation for your talk. That's what everyone is supposed to do, even if most don't. But when you read your slides, the people you're most insulting are the most prepared people in the audience. They have read your slides in advance. They're reading silently faster than you are reading them to them. And then you are reading them aloud. Surely no one would argue that this is not only incredibly annoying, my point earlier, but also just massively inefficient. Massively. In fact, I would argue if you want to save time, enough time to have rehearsal time, shorten your meetings so people can't read their slides. Look, reading your slides completely obviates the purpose of the meeting you're reading them in. If everyone has read them, why even meet? Right? Too many meetings, people are finding out what's going on. But in fact, if the presentations have been read in advance, have been looked at in advance, prepared in advance, they already know what's already happened. What meetings should be about is deciding what to do about it. But the reason we meet is to be further taught about what the slides mean. We had a recent executive conference here last week in Monterey. Mike and I were there, Dan McGuire. Sarah was there as well. We had 15 execs. And Erica Martinez, who is a whiz of Calixco, shared a concept that she had just learned, which Erica, thank you. I'm going to be using it a lot. The concept of what, so what, and now what. Meaning, the what is what's on your slides. The so what is what it means, which is what you're supposed to talk about. And the now what is what's going to be done about it, which is also what you're supposed to be briefing on. You're establishing a foundation with your slides, and then you're elaborating upon it to get to the so what and now what of it. But guys, it's even more than this. Reading your slides tells your audience that you are unprepared because you have to read and you don't remember. You must rely on reading your slides because you don't know what's on them. I mean, how could it be any worse than that? Your audience knows this because they too read their slides, because they too do not completely know their slides, and they use their slides as a crutch, thinking, again, that the slides are the presentation. And look, we already alluded to this. There's a bunch more negatives to reading your slides, but we're going to just share one more. To read your slides, absent a confidence monitor, which we'll talk about in future guidance because there's thousands more casts to go, folks. In order to read them, you have to turn your back on your audience.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's not because we don't want to turn our back on them because they're raving wolves, and when we turn our back, they'll eat us, although you might have that thought in your head to keep you from turning your back to the audience. When you do so, and this is no offense to them because they're the audience and you are not, you demote yourself to becoming part of the audience, looking at the slides along with them, reading them along with them. How does this enhance your position as the most knowledgeable person in the room about the topic you're presenting? It doesn't. And that reduces your ability to be persuasive, which is the whole point of a presentation. Slides can be persuasive, but your presentation must be persuasive.
Well, it reminds me of, you always say, you know, communication is what the listener does.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you've turned your back. You're not looking at them. So you have no idea of the quality of the communications that's happening. You don't see the look of surprise on their face. You don't see flashes of anger. You don't see any of all the behaviors that they engage in that give you feedback as to where you are and what your problems might be. Don't identify them now. You'll identify them eventually, right? But it won't be, you won't be able to do anything about it.
If you're a longtime listener, you've probably heard this story. I may have only told it two or three times over the last 20 years. And I talked to somebody recently who said to me, he started listening in 2006 and now he's a CEO. And he said, Mark, I don't have much time anymore to listen to your podcast, but you helped me a lot early in my career. But the story I've told many, many times, you were there, Mike, was in New Jersey, presenting at Newark Airport on the second floor of a hotel. I was in the middle of presenting the Effective Manager Conference. I've got 40 or 50 people in the room, standard setup where there's a center aisle that I can walk down in a big hotel ballroom. and I'm presenting. I'm completely in flow. I've presented the EMC 5,000 times in my life. I invented the material. I have the raw material. I have the raw data for the material and so on. Saw it built and then learned how to do one-on-ones from the data we got from clients, frankly. And I'm feeling great. I know my content cold. I know myself and my skills and where I am and what I'm trying to do. And I'm focusing on the third part of presentation mastery, about which we have another cast called Focusing on the Audience. And knowing your stuff and yourself so well that you can actually focus on the audience, you don't have to think about what you're talking about. That's mastery. And it's available to all of you if you follow our guidance. And in the middle of the presentation, I have them where I want them. I can see them looking at me. I can see their pupils dilating at various points. I see them taking notes. I see if I'm going to lose somebody because he's reaching for his phone, so on. All that stuff is only available if you've totally mastered your content to a third level deeper than the first level, which is just saying it. And then also I know where I am and what I'm doing and how I'm trying to enhance the presentation with my physical delivery, both voice and tone and pace and what I accentuate and what I don't, and also my body language and so on. And all of a sudden, just like that, the audience is gone. All of their faces go blank, like they've been hypnotized. I completely lose them. And I look to my left and my right like, what just happened? I've never had this happen to me before. 1 second later, I felt the earthquake that had just hit the building, which they had felt 1 second sooner than me because they were sitting down. They were more connected to the floor than I was, I guess. And I lost them immediately. And I'll never, ever, ever forget that. And that's what great presenting is. I don't mean to pat myself on my back. But if you turn your back on your audience, you won't be able to see their responses. You won't be able to know. In fact, I should do video of people, of presenters, when they turn their back on the audience, have the video of the audience and watch the audience immediately disengage from the presenter.
Yeah. And it was a pretty major earthquake, actually. So folks, if you're wondering what you do when you're kind of presenting to 40 or 50 folks and there's a major earthquake, what do you do? Well, you go outside, you get out of the building, and then you occupy a lawn that was dead, I think, because it was winter.
Yeah, it's dead. It was winter. Although we were in the shade, it was sunny. So we went into the shade of a tree.
Yeah. Felt like in the middle of a field as opposed to a lawn. And then you start presenting, teaching your audience.
We didn't know how long we were going to kept out of the building. It ended up being about 15 minutes.
We're going to sit here and grouse about it? No?
Yeah. No. We're going to keep driving.
So that's what you do.
Okay, good. All right. So those are some of the reasons why you don't do it. Now, let's talk about why does it happen. It happens for two reasons: lack of understanding about the principles of presenting and failure to rehearse. And that's the hook for today. People are going to be bailing going, oh my God, he's going to ask us to rehearse. Yes, I am. The first principle of presenting is you are the presentation, not the slides. If it were any other way, you wouldn't have to present your slides. You'd only have to prepare and distribute them. And that would be the presentation, but it's not. That's just the slides, okay? The purpose of presenting is to persuade your audience. 99% of slides don't do that. They just say what, not so what, and not now what. It is not enough to simply create slides to persuade an audience, because if all you do is create them and then read them, that's all you did really was create them. Your slides exist only as an outline for the structure of your presentation. That's all they are. Okay. But somehow in the last 25, 30 years, we have come to shift, because maybe just because it's easier, it's lazier and in more efficient in one way to just say, that's my presentation, the deck. And it's not. Those are your slides. Your job as a presenter is to use the structure of the slides to talk the audience persuasively. The slides tell your audience is what, and your role in presenting is to go from the what of the slides to the so what does the slides mean, and to the now what needs or is going to happen because of what you've shared. That's the whole point of presenting, not slides, presenting. Your slides are not the presentation, folks. You are.
At the executive level, it gets pretty lonely. I mean, who can you talk to when you can't talk to your team? Senior leaders often lack a trusted network outside of their organization. and our Executive Speaker Series is meant to connect executives with experienced peers to discuss real challenges, gain outside perspective, and sharpen decision-making. When your questions are bigger than your org chart, you need a broader view. Learn more by visiting us today at manager-tools.com/ESS.
I'm going to give you a small example of how slides and lack of rehearsal go together to reduce the effectiveness of most presentations, all presentations. A common mistake on slides nowadays is to see the headline of the slide as being simply a title. For instance, we've seen many sales slides that are titled with sales chart, or a quality slide titled as quality trend. The idea, of course, is that you want the audience to know what the chart is. But folks, this isn't enough. The audience, on seeing these chart slides, will immediately begin drawing conclusions on their own, without your help, about what the slide or the chart means. Okay? This is an error. The title or headline of the chart should tell the audience what the chart means, not what it shows. So if your sales slide is going up, you know, if the chart is going up on the slide, the title should read, "Sales increased due to new client growth." That's the point. Not the chart, not the slope of the line or the graph, or the fact that you're telling them this is a chart. It reminds me of that famous painting, a painting of a pipe, and the title of the painting is, "This is not a pipe." And people go, "Why does it say that?" Because it's not a pipe. It's a painting of a pipe. It's two different things. The map is not the territory. The slides are not the presentation. Okay? So for the quality trend chart, let's say it's declining, the title headline, rather than saying quality chart or quality trend, could be something like quality declining due to raw material inspection failures. Now, when you present the sales chart, you would say something like this: sales increased because we added three new clients after a three-month process of relationship building. That's what you would say. You would literally say that, okay? You would not say, "Here's the sales chart," okay? For the quality chart, you might say, "We have identified a failure in our inspection processes for raw materials, which we are addressing in the following ways." They see the chart, they understand the quality is going down, and you're talking about the so what, we identified what the problem is, and the now what we're doing about it. In neither case cited in these two examples are the words we recommend you say on the slide. The slide supports your statement, and the audience makes the connection. They're intelligent. Rather than simply saying sales went up or sale quality went down, you present not just the data shown, but the reasons for what happened, and then talk about the now what of what you intend to do about it. The second reason slide reading happens is because presenters have not rehearsed what they're going to say beyond the slides. This is why you're given time to present the slides. The slides are not the presentation. The presentation is you. You're supposed to persuade, to talk about what happens now, to talk about the why of what happened and what it means. So we get to our third point, which is, how do I avoid it? Well, that's easy. The way you avoid reading your own slides, folks, is to rehearse your presentation before you give it. Show some respect for the audience. Do what others are not doing for you and elevate the average level of professional presentation skills in the room by going to the next level before you ever get there. Now, look, we know that we're asking you to spend more time and you don't think you have more time. Fair enough. We heard the same thing about one-on-ones, and then people, I don't have time to do that. And then people started doing them because their boss maybe made them, and they say, "Oh my gosh, I could never manage without one-on-ones ever again." But we're also recommending you do something that'll set you apart from what everyone else does. In an executive and managerial meeting, presenting, that doesn't take much to separate yourself from everyone else reading their darn slides. It doesn't take much. It just takes a little bit. We're going to cover rehearsing in a lot more detail in future guidance, but we'll give you two options here for now. We're going to give you a light version of rehearsing and a full version of rehearsing. The light version is what most of you are probably thinking, and it's not the full version. you probably think this is the full version. The light version is sitting at your computer with your slides in front of you and deciding in advance what you're going to say as you move through your slides. Note that we call them your slides and not your presentation. You are the presentation. Write down some of what you're going to say. Keep in mind what, so what, and now what. Okay. At a minimum, memorize the first thing you will say when you're showing each slide and the last thing you will say for each slide. This will make your transition smoother and easier. Typically, when you're reading slides and then you switch slides, you lose your audience a little bit. They don't like being read to. They get a break as you're moving to the next slide, and they just sort of start sliding away. And every slide being forwarded to the next one, they slip away a little further. By knowing how, precisely now, when I say knowing how, I mean precisely how, word for word, you will present the beginning and ending of each slide crisply, and you will keep your audience's attention, and you'll be more confident going into your next slide.
Yeah, if you're thinking about it, right?
It's
like a TV series. Like at the end of a show, the best ones, they set something up and you're anxious. You literally want to binge watch the next episode.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're reading your slides, the problem is you have now fallen into the trap that the slides are the presentation and you're just a mouthpiece to say it verbally. And you have to wait until the next slide comes up, look over the slide and decide what you're going to say. Most people don't do that. And so they just read the first bullet or the title. And people, again, just feel talked down to, demeaned, disrespected. Yeah, exactly. Just like the old Charlie Brown cartoons on TV. And as you're doing this, writing some stuff down, make your best effort at avoiding reading anything on any slide. You might say about one of your points on the slide about a product feature, we're not getting the uptake on our sales of the new feature we added, so we're going to have a session about features and benefits and test a couple of new approaches. We'll start that day after tomorrow. Obviously, all of that, what you just said, is not on your slide, but that's what you will say, elaborating on, providing the so what and now what on the bullet point that you're expanding upon.
Well, you say it's obviously not on their slide, but some people make the mistake of putting all of that on the slide. And that's why they have one slide every 10 seconds or something. I've seen some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a great example. I have to present the Effective Senior Manager Conference tonight virtually. I have to present it over the next three nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I joke with Sarah that they're getting the third strings. Kate was originally scheduled to do it. She had a conflict. And then Sarah was originally scheduled to do it. She now has a conflict. And so the group will be getting third string, which is me, which should be fun for me. I'm going to have fun with it.
Yeah. Just review the material beforehand.
Yeah. And in that presentation, we talk about Team One, which I'm sure all of our executive tools listeners know what it is. It's probably one of our 10 most liked, most appreciated exec tools podcasts. I think we've been doing exec tools now for 3 years, maybe even four. I can't remember exactly. And there's a bullet called Welcome to Team One. And then when I see that, I immediately go and draw an org chart, if you will, a triangle with somebody mid-level with an area below them, which is their organization. I say, you think that when you become an executive, you're kind of at the top of the bottom, like you've reached a level where you have a significant-ish organization beneath you, and you like talking about being at the top of the bottom. I'm a senior director. I've got 250 FTEs working for me. I always love when people refer to people as FTEs. It makes them feel so warm and professional and so on. And it's good to talk about being a leader. And then I say, but you're not at the top of the bottom. You're now at the bottom of the top. And it's then and only then that I say, welcome to Team One. And, you know, I could say, okay, welcome to Team One. What does that mean? Because that's how most people do it. And then they go on to the next bullet and it's just, it's annoying. Okay, we're running long and I promised Sarah I would make this a one-parter because she knows I have an interest and at the same time a pet peeve in presenting. But we're going to expand on this with many more podcasts in the next 10, 20 years. The full version of rehearsing is to do the light version first, followed by standing up in front of your slides, using a remote to control them on your computer, and presenting the entire presentation once or twice all the way through. Interestingly enough, this is very much like how we teach interviewing preparation. Give yourself a question and then answer it and record the answer and then listen to the answer. Ideally, you'll have your webcam on and you'll have some software that will allow you to record yourself. And believe me, when you see yourself presenting, standing up the first time you present, your first impression of yourself will be, oh my gosh, I am truly horrible. I am the worst presenter ever.
Yeah. And for those of you who really like doing that, there are people out there that do it. If you really enjoy it, then come try to be a presenter at Manager Tools, because you'll be doing that 100 times.
Every hour, every day.
Every day.
We have Amanda, Amanda Chase, who is in charge of our public conference business. Amanda knew nothing about Manager Tools when we interviewed her. And the interview I had with Amanda was very much like the interview I had with Sarah. Just a super honest, direct, candid, friendly, cheerful, smart person. And when I finished the interview, I'm like, I don't care that she doesn't know anything about us. And it only took her 4 months using our rehearsal practice, training process, to become competent enough to go on the road alone. 4 months. That's all. 1 hour a day. And then getting feedback on it, obviously.
How are her NPS scores?
The same as mine. Identical. Same as Sarah's. Same as Kate's. Same as mine.
Yeah. And she quickly got there. It's amazing. Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah. So that rehearsal standing up will help you get the flow of your presentation. And again, get you beyond reading your slides. Remember the rule. Don't do everything in your power to not read a slide. After you're done, you may have to make some small adjustments to what you're going to say, and that's fine. And again, folks, we're going to talk more about rehearsing in future guidance, but we just wanted to get you started. This cast is kind of like from zero to one. We just want to get you over the hump, stop reading your slides, start rehearsing, do the light rehearsal, and then if you have the time, do the full rehearsal. That was as fast as I could have possibly gone, Mike.
That was amazing.
I rushed.
Apparently, she knows how to crack the whip on you.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's in charge. Okay, so summarizing. Folks, I'll say it again. You are the presentation, not your slides. Slides are only a structure. Reading your slides diminishes your effectiveness, bores the audience, makes you look like everybody else, which you don't want to be. Get your slides done early and use the time between slide completion. By the way, let me go back and say, when I say get your slides done early, don't stress about your slides. Put a draft together, okay? And then start rehearsing on the draft. And then you can change the slides as you go along. Don't wait until the last minute. The moment you get a requirement to do a presentation, draft the deck right away. I had to draft a deck for a client this weekend. It took me about 90 minutes. Now, we're having another conversation about it today. I'm presenting it tomorrow, and I have to rehearse tonight after I get done with the Effective Senior Manager Conference, but that's what I'll do. And then, obviously, after you get your slides done early, use the time to rehearse your presentation, light or full. And yeah, folks, we know this takes time. Time you no doubt don't think you have, but you've sat through enough presentations where you were read to know you can do better.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Folks, there's more to come when it comes to presenting, and I'm sorry we didn't get to it. A lot more of it, a lot sooner.
Right on. All right, folks, thank you. See y'all.
Thanks, partner.